Okay. Reading from chapter 19 of the Madhya Lila of the Chaitanya Bhagavat, text 1. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Vishvambara Sarva Vaishnavera Nat. Bhakti Diya Jiva Prabhu Kare Atmasat. All glories to Vishvambara, the Lord of all Vaishnavas. O Lord, please deliver the living entities by giving them your devotional service. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmalitam Vyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidati Svapadantikam Pancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare. Okay, this class, I don't do the video, so don't worry about that. On Wednesday, I do video, and on later today at 11 o'clock, I do video. This has been going on pre-coronavirus. This has been going on for like 12 years, and I'm a creature of habit. And it has a certain medium when you just have to hear. I know that seeing is also a very important part of hearing, but I have a certain meditation with this that will keep it this way. And at the end, I'll turn it on. I could see some people. So I've been doing Chaitanya Bhagavat, and I explained to the people listening on my Sangha that I wanted to share more of Prayojana Tattva. And what Prayojana Tattva means, the goal of devotional service, which is the feeling that one has between the soul and God, which is rasa. And that's the ultimate reality. Rasa vai saha. That says in the Tattatira Upanishads, I am rasa. So I wanted to do Gaur Lila. I may also do Krishna Lila later on at 11 o'clock if I keep this going. But it's so important to actually hear about perfection, because our whole practice, we have to have a goal. So we have to hear about that goal, and the goal is to develop prema bhakti, to develop our perfectional love, a relationship with Krishna. And this is how we do it. We have to hear about Krishna as the object of our love, and we have to hear the devotees who love Krishna in the way that we're aspiring for. Now, I'm personally relishing this. I started this about a month and a half ago when I was in Vrindavan. And Gaur Lila Chaitanya Bhagavat just presents so powerfully what that perfection is. When we see in a contemporary way, the perfection in Krishna Lila is Radha and Krishna dancing in the Ras Lila. The perfection in Gaur Lila is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda, Srivas Thakur, Dvaita, Gadadhar, the Vaishnavas doing nocturnal kirtan for 6 hours. So it's a little bit more accessible, a little bit more contemporary, but still an elevated subject matter, because it's dealing, it's trying to communicate perhaps an experience that we have not yet sufficiently matured to fully understand. And I gave the simple example of a five-year-old girl trying to understand romance. But what Prabhupada taught us, because he gave us the Krishna book first, that if the teacher can appropriately put this lila in tattva, then we have some access to understand it and to benefit from it. So we're in a new chapter, so it begins with the glories verses that it's so necessary. It's so necessary to feel humble, to realize the absolute truth. Once you start to move towards the center, you lose the desire to be in the center. You lose your adhikari. You lose your perspective. You lose your frame of reference to understand the absolute truth, which is not within the realm of, we can't grasp it totally by our simple logic, because it's beyond cause and effect. It's the nature of God, not caused by anything. It's the nature of God caused by his own nature, being, and will. And that nature, being, and will, to understand it, you have to become the proper receptacle to it. It's just like if the sun is out, if you're in the house and you're not experiencing the sun, you can't claim that the sun is partial. Because you have every right to step outside and experience the sun. So everyone has the right to experience God. God has given that right to everyone. That's one of the significant points of the fourth verse of the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam, where the whole Bhagavatam is summarized. Sarvatra, sarva, sarvada, sarvatra. Anywhere and everywhere, one can take the devotional service. And that statement, the nectar of devotion, just as one can take bath in the month of Mag, that's the middle of the winter. There's no caste for taking bath. There's no gender for taking bath. There's no level of intelligence for taking bath. There's no religious requirement for taking bath. Anyone can do it if you want to. And that's the difficulty of devotional service, that we have to want to do something, which is antithetical to the reason we came to this material world, which is to enjoy and control. It's antithetical to that. And therefore, even though it's so accessible, it's just like me. I like to stay indoors. I remember I used to visit my friend Advaita Prabhu in Princeton. And he's such a nice Vaishnav, and he would always cook. He's a very good cook. He said, Maharaj, let's take outside. Now, most people would like to take outside. I have a picnic table. I like to stay indoors. So some people, it's accessible, but they don't like it. That's the whole problem with devotional service. It's only that we don't like it. I always quote that commentary on the second verse of the of Bhagavatam, that Krishna can appear in the heart without delay. And Sri Jiva asks, why doesn't this happen to us? And he says, because we don't like the message. We don't like the message. We have to surrender to Guru and Krishna. We just don't like the message. And therefore, that don't like covers the soul. And here it says, deliver the living entities by giving them your devotional service. And what is that? That is the light to serve Krishna. Devotional service is simply a liking for a particular activity. It's a liking for the particular activity of serving Krishna. And this is how you get the like, specifically. You specifically get the like by hearing about Krishna. And specifically by chanting and hearing about his pastimes. So here it is. It's the humility of prayer, making oneself a receptacle to hear. In this way, Lord Vishwambar performed pastimes in Navadvip that were not seen to all. Because perception is not just a matter of the senses. Perception is also a matter of our attitude and our attention. Otherwise, we don't see things. Just like a polarized America in two different views. And you take the head of one party, you take the head of another party, and each party has a different view of each person. They have a different attitude. So it's not seen by all. Naham pakasya sarvasya yoga maya. So I am not available to the foolish and unintelligent. So in the company of Nityananda and Gadadhar, the Lord enjoyed pastimes in the houses of his devotees. Yeah, just living in Krishna's village, what an experience. Described in the 10th canto, when Krishna, when Akura is coming to Vrindavan to see Krishna, and he arrives at the dust, so Krishna is coming home and Krishna goes to his house. And his mother, who's been frustrated because, and in separation from Krishna, but separated because Krishna, when he goes to the forest and he goes swimming and playing the cows, he doesn't like to dress up. He likes the simple decorations of the forest, the leaves and the twigs and the pink pigments and the earth. Now, mother, when he gets home, Mother Yasoda bathes him and she decorates him, puts on fragrances, and he's so beautiful. But as he's walking back from the forest and walking there, you can imagine the residents of Vrindavan in their house with their doors open, and they see Krishna walking by. So here they see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he comes in their houses. And he does kirtan. When Raghunath and Bhakta Toni somehow went to Manipur with Sarup Damodar Goswami, kind of like the odd couple, and he took Raghunath around and he was doing, you know, 12, 15 programs a day. He would go to a house and in the middle of the living room, there'd be a little temple. And they do kirtan and they give a little prasad and go to the next one. So Lord Chaitanya used to benedict his devotees in this way in Navadvipa. All the devotees were filled with the Lord's ecstasy. They saw the entire world in relationship with Krishna. That's what ecstasy is. Unless you see Krishna, you won't feel Krishna. And feeling Krishna, our relationship with Krishna, is that kind of ecstasy. That's the piyojana. That's why we get a philosophical basis of who is Krishna. And that's why we learn about the means to realize Krishna. Because when you realize Krishna, you feel Krishna. So all the devotees were filled with the Lord's ecstasy. They saw the entire world in relationship to Krishna. What maya or illusion is, maya, not this, is to see Krishna's energy as separate from him, to facilitate the conception of false ego to be the enjoyer and controller, to feel superior. In reality, we don't feel superior. It is not our constitution. We don't desire it. And it's not the happiest position, only for God. So they see everything in relationship to Krishna, the whole world. They're not in maya. They're not in illusion. And Prabhupada said, when you have that kind of consciousness, you feel thrilled at every moment. They were constantly absorbed in love of God and had no external consciousness. They had no other engagement other than the performance of Sankirtan. Sankirtan vina nahi nahi konakar. So they are absorbed in love of Godhead at a very high level. And the highest level is there's no thought outside the object of your meditation. And that becomes especially powerful in Sankirtan, when even the external to your mind is the object of your meditation. So in this way, in Sankirtan, they were becoming completely absorbed. And this is, as Krishna Das Kaviraj appropriately titles, the Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Chaitanya Charitamrita, the character of the life force and immortality. That's what it's all about. There is an ultimate reality where you can live eternally and relish it. If there is a God, then why would that not be part of his offer? If you want, you could live with me in ecstasy. If you don't want, you can be in the illusion of the enjoyer and controller, which is antithetical to the soul. That's why when people get so much power, they're not happy, because the tendency is to take them further and further into the consciousness that separates them from God and their own identity. So this is the described here. Of all the devotees, Acharya Gosai was most blissful. No one was able to understand his unfathomable characteristics. So this is Mahavishnu, Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam, Bhakta Rupa Supakam, Bhaktavataram. This is the avatar of bhakti, Advaitacharya. And he's the one who petitions Lord Chaitanya to come. And his charita, his characteristics, Chaitanya Charitamrita, his charita is agada. It's so deep. It's so deep. It's coming from an internal platform. And it's hard to just analyze. You have to have some experience. It's just like with Radha and Krishna's pastimes and people who want to meditate on the Astakalila Smaran. You know, I was just thinking, what is the Astakalila Smaran? It's a transgender ideal, at least for men. They're meditating on themselves as women. It's a transgender ideal. It seems so weird. But actually speaking, it really doesn't have anything to do with the body. It's a consciousness. And until you have a taste of that consciousness, it is weird. Because what the hell are you meditating on? You have to have a taste of that consciousness. You have to understand some semblance of that Baba. The glories of Lord Chaitanya's great devotee, Advaita, the Lord of Shantipur, are known by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya only to a few devotees. When Vishwanath regained his external consciousness, he would offer respect to all the Vaishnavas, and particularly to Advaita. So he went out of external consciousness, and when he gets to external consciousness, what does he do? He immediately engages in the service of the devotees. If you're in external consciousness, you should be engaged in the service of the devotees. And particularly Advaita. And this will be the key to the story, because particularly Advaita. Why Advaita? Because Advaita is his senior. And God follows the etiquette when he comes. This is like guru. But Advaita knows that he's God. And he doesn't like the respect that Lord Chaitanya gives him. It's not his bhav. His bhav is, I'm a servant. It would just be like if Prabhupada came and offered you all. Everybody here, think of that for a second. How would you feel if Prabhupada came and paid his obeisances to you and worshipped you? Is that what that would be horrible? Because that's not our bhav. We're the servants of Srila Prabhupada. That's not at all our bhav. And therefore, as a result of this, the Lord of Shantipur was unhappy. His mind rumbled and his heart felt no relief. They take their bhava seriously. Their life is about bhava. That's what they want, and that's what we should want. We should be chanting the holy name and having a feeling for Krishna, and that should be the most precious thing in our life. And we should look at the rest of our life in relationship to that. That we can do our duties, we can have our families, but the reason we do that is because of that. Because whatever station in our life, whatever satisfaction we need, whatever duties and responsibilities we need to get off of the selfish platform, we must do them. But it's for that. The goal in bhakti is so important. It's for that. For that feeling. That bhav, that taste. And it's the bhakti kripa. A kripa is very, very fragile. Especially we must protect it by never criticizing Vaishnavas. We must protect it. That has to be our treasure. So this was his treasure, but his whole life was against this bhav that he wanted, because Lord Chaitanya was respecting him. This thief constantly harasses me by giving up his superior position and grabbing hold of my feet. I can't stand it. He is the superior, and he is serving me. That's terrible. I want to serve him, and this is my heart. This is my bhav. The Lord is most powerful, so by force I cannot check him from taking dust from my feet. The only alternative I have is the power of devotional service, for no one can recognize Vishwambar without devotional service. This is all I want. The only thing that can save me is devotional service. But he's serving me. He's come to give devotional service, but he's serving me, and all I want is devotional service. Sometimes we find ourselves in uncomfortable positions. And he's finding himself in a very uncomfortable position. He wants devotional service because he's a devotee. And Lord Chaitanya is offering him respects because he is the acharya. He's the Dvaitacharya. He's the head of the Vaishnavas. When I smash his illusion into pieces, then only will my name Advaita be glorified. What illusion? What is the illusion? That you are thinking that I am worshipable by you? When you accuse someone of that illusion, it's not a criticism of them. The illusion that I'm this, the illusion that I have this abhiman. The illusion that I'm bluffing, the illusion that I'm something that I'm not. If I can't destroy that illusion, then I'm not worthy of my name. If I allow this to go on in darshan, in direct association of Lord Chaitanya, if I let this illusion that I am his superior go on, he is the Supreme Lord, he is the worshipable Lord, this thief has become proud after defeating Bhrigu. But he doesn't know that I have hundreds of disciples like Bhrigu. There's a little commentary here. I'll read that. There is a story among people that Lord Narayan accepted Bhrigu's footprint on his chest to exhibit his affection for his devotees and demonstrate that he, Bhrigu, was a fool. The story is at the tip of my tongue, but since ignorant people are more prone to be deceived, they consider Bhrigu more respectful than the Supreme Lord. Bhrigupad, the foot of Bhrigu. I'm afraid to stop. I'll lose my flow if I try to think of this story. But anyway. But as Sri Advaita Prabhu is Mahavishnu and a Vaishnavacharya, he recognized the foolishness of Bhrigu to accept. It's the opposite of Advaita. He accepted the superior position. Lord Narayan induced him to do that, and he accepted it. Therefore, while displaying his external anger and pride, he declared that he has hundreds of disciples like Bhrigu. Sri Gaurasundara, who is non-different from Krishna, Brajendrananda, could not hide the stealing propensity of Shyamasundara's pastimes from Advaita Prabhu. Now Advaita says, I will make the Lord so angry that he will punish me by his own hand. Although the Lord is incarnated to preach devotional service, I will not show any respect to devotional service. That is my resolution. So he's so desperate for Lord Chaitanya to accept him as a subordinate, that he's going to temporarily adopt the philosophy, the impersonal philosophy of Vishishta, Yoga Vishishta, to invoke Lord Chaitanya's anger upon him and relish that bhava, that Lord Chaitanya is my superior. That's called prabhuta gyan, knowledge of prabhuta, of the superiority. The parents have the relationship of Krishna called Vatsalya, and the mood is, I am your maintainer and protector. The servants, they have a different mood to Krishna. It's exact opposite. You are my maintainer and protector. Each your love, but appropriate for different types of people. So, Advaita wants to invoke that relationship with Lord Chaitanya where he can feel he's superior. And the only way he can do it, the only way he can do it is in this way. After contemplating in this way, Advaita Prabhu happily departed with Haridas. He came home on the pretext of some work and contemplated his resolution. Intoxicated with ecstasy, he constantly swayed back and forth as he glorified Gyan while commenting on the book Yoga Visheshta. Without Gyan, what power does devotional service to Vishnu have? Therefore, Gyan has all potency and is the life of all. So this is how he's preaching. One who does not understand such Gyan is comparable to a person who leaves his wealth at home and then searches for it in the forest. You want to be a devotee and give up Gyan? The wealth is Gyan. Now you're like some fool going to the forest, searching for wealth when you have the wealth of Gyan. Devotional service to Vishnu is like a mirror, while Gyan is like the eyes. What is the use of a mirror if one has no eyes? Had an interesting realization, how we have to understand something in context. Imagine if someone just came on the phone call now and heard me reading these verses, which is preaching Mayavadi philosophy. So it just shows you how important you have to understand things contextually. And why folio scholarship is not sufficient. Beta-based scholarship is not sufficient to understand tattva. Because each verse has a context. So important to understand context before understanding something or judging something. Even in forgiveness, criminally, people have to see the context. Even if someone committed a crime, the person may have temporary insanity, or he may be a juvenile. So it's not just the crime, it's the context of it by which one will be judged. So it's the same thing with understanding Shastra. I have studied all the scriptures from beginning to end and have come to the conclusion that Gyan is the essence of everything. Haridas knew well the characteristics of Advaita. Therefore, on hearing this explanation, he laughed loudly. He just thought it was so outrageous. And he knew who Advaita was. So he just started laughing, Haridas. Of course, I was just thinking of the article I wrote, What Makes Something Funny, and how I had studied all the great philosophers on Hume. Every philosopher, from Aristotle to Kant to Schopenhauer to Kierkegaard, everyone dealt with this topic, what makes something funny? And the best definition after studying all the philosophers, the best definition was by Marx. Reason gone mad. Groucho Marx said that about 50 or 75 years ago. Reason gone mad. So for someone like Advaita Acharya, who is so fixed in devotional service, who called Lord Chaitanya to speak about Gyan as it's the absolute truth, it's hilarious. It makes absolutely no sense. And Haridas Thakur is just laughing. It makes no sense. Such are the unfathomable characteristics of Advaita Prabhu. They are auspicious for the devotees and impediments for the miscreants, because the devotees will understand this and the miscreants will take this out of context to support Brahma Gyan. Lord Vishnu Vimbar is like a desire tree that fulfills everyone's desires. Therefore, he understood Advaita's resolution. So Lord Chaitanya understood this, that Advaita wants a change in the relationship. He wants to be subordinate, and he's doing this to invoke Lord Chaitanya, to chastise him and get angry with him, which is a superior position. And that's the nature, well, desire tree. Nigama kalpatura galilam palam sukamukha. The Bhagavatam is the fruit of the desire tree of Vedic knowledge. So, desire tree that fulfills everyone's desires. And that verse, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Ekobunam Yo. The Dati Kama, the one that supplies the many. And the material world is a product of God fulfilling our desire. It's strange. He's fulfilling our desire because our desire, he's fulfilling our desire, but our desire cannot satisfy us. It's a fish out of water. It's unconstitutional. So at the same time he's fulfilling our desire, he turns up the heat so that we'll give up that desire. That's what's happening now in the world. God's turning up the heat because people were staying in that conception. I'm the enjoyer, and it's miserable. The whole material world, it's miserable. I was speaking to one of my friends, and he was in separation from his work. And I said, but you hate your work. He said, yes, I hate my work. So we're in separation from that which is miserable. So God doesn't allow us to stay as, you know, the next top this, the next top this, the, you know, talent winner, this, that, controller, enjoyer, this way, that way. He doesn't allow us to stay there. It's our desire. He's given it to us. He's allowed us to enjoy, but he has this other balance. It's like the father who sees the son desires something which is not so good and gives him the facility to it. But he's also thinking how it's going to frustrate you anyway. If you follow your desires, it's going to take you so far from the soul, your life will become meaningless, and the only thing you'll have to contemplate is suicide. That's the essence of the existential philosophy. Because they're honest. According to their philosophy, that there's no God, there's no meaning in life. And if there's no meaning in life, then why live? And that's the result of a purely atheistic conception of life. I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. Anyway, he understood, that's the point. He understood his way to his resolution. One day the Lord was joyfully wandering about the city looking at his creation with Nityananda. And as he's looking at the creation and enjoying the creation, Lord Brahma, who is the creator of the universe, the secondary creator of the universe, considers himself fortunate. When Lord is looking how things are so beautiful, and we can't imagine how beautiful things were at that time. Even now, Mayapur is so beautiful. The Ganga is flowing so powerfully. But what to speak? I mentioned that before when I came to Vrindavan and the flowing clean waters of the Jamuna. How beautiful. Brahma considers himself fortunate, the Lord mercifully looking at my artistic work. It appeared that two moons were wandering about and everyone appreciated their presence according to their surrender. So again, according to your level of surrender, God reciprocates. We'll go for a few more minutes and then any reflections, and then if people want to say hello, it's nice. But there seems to be, because of this pandemic, an unprecedented level of chanting and hearing about Krishna in the world. So that's auspicious. So they're so beautiful that compared to the moon, moon is so bright. Everyone appreciated according to their surrender. That's the door to bhakti. If you don't prioritize someone else's desire over your own, it's not love. And that's what surrender means. But not forceful surrender. Constitutional surrender, shelter surrender, loving surrender, protection surrender, maintenance surrender, shelter surrender. And according to that taking of shelter, then Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, their hearts open up and they reveal who they are. And I make this point so much when I'm speaking about rasa. Who we are more than anything else is the relationships that we have and the sentiments we have within those relationships. That's who we are more than anything else. And that doesn't come out unless a person shows it. So the substantial part of any person is their love. All the demigods watched from outer space. On seeing the two moons, various thoughts went through their minds. On seeing the presence of the moon-like lords, they considered their planets to be the earth and earth to be heaven, because they're looking at the earth and there's the moon of Lord Chaitanya. So they're saying, wait, we're not in the heaven. That's the moon. Those are the heavens. So the earth has this very special feature. This very, very special feature. Of the feet of the Supreme Lord. And there's this incredible relationship between the Lord and the earth. Because the earth maintains and sustains. It nourishes and sustains all living entities and all Krishna's pastimes. So Krishna is very affectionate towards the earth. He won't wear shoes when he goes out to the forest. When he walks behind the cows, his only desire is to pacify them. So I'm going to end now and just ask for any reflections. And then people can say hello. And then if after that, if anyone wants to hang around, I'll also answer questions. But I should mention, today I will give another seminar, Giving Up Justified Hate, at 11 o'clock. If you need the information, you can contact me or Rati Krishna or Advaita Acharya, if you know who those are, one of us, and we'll give the information for that. Would anyone like to share a reflection on the class?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Shradanjali Dasi. Please accept my humble obeisances.
Who is this?
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Shradanjali Dasi.
Oh, Shradanjali, yes. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much.
Hi, Krishna. Yeah, I really like the image of that we sort of cower in our house of the conception of ourselves, and the sun rays are there for everyone, and all we have to do is come out of the house and let the rays shine on us like God's grace is there.
Yeah, I thought about this recently, because there's always a question, is God partial? You know, though he favors his devotees, but he's not partial. He'll favor anyone who becomes his devotee. So he's...
Well, anyone who walks outside to, you know, through the door of bhakti to the outside, you know?
Anyone. Yes. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Anybody else like to share a reflection that they like?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Bhakti Devi.
Hey, Hare Krishna. Yeah.
You know, the whole idea of constitutional surrender, which really got me thinking about what it took for me to actually have that surrender, how you don't realize what it really is until you've gone through something, I guess, drastic, and then surrender, and it just all turns around, and it really reinforces just what it means, really, to surrender.
Which is shelter, that you actually get shelter. It's not just that you're under someone who bosses you around. You actually get shelter. Thank you, Betty. I'm going to turn on my video now. Okay. And anybody else can? So anybody else like to, hey, Henry. Anyone else like to share a reflection? Maybe I'll do this in the future, but we'll see. I'll get your input. Anybody else like to share any reflection?
Can I ask a question, Maharaj? When you do the Zoom video, do you prefer to people have their video on or off? I don't know if it's distracting or...
Well, I think when I speak, it's probably good that it's off, because someone said it makes it harder to, it also makes it harder to it makes it more difficult for the reception, someone said. So I don't know. So we'll leave it at that. Okay. But now anybody can turn it on. It's nice to see everybody. Anybody else have any reflection?
You know, I really liked what you said about not criticizing Vaishnavs. And, you know, I've been thinking about that for years. It's very difficult to do. We have such in our nature, we're wanting to criticize. And it seems like the whole society is about criticism these days. And I try to tell people, you know, let's focus on what we like and what we love, and not sit around spending so much time criticizing a mundane personality when we could be glorifying the Supreme Personality of God.
Wow. Henry, thank you. That's a nice realization. That really is. I read it somewhere. It says, bhakti is simple. To avoid criticism is difficult. because anyone can do bhakti. Right, we have to be very careful what our we have to be very careful with criticism. I know that I was reading this commentary that it said, if you criticize someone, if there's any enmity in it, then you not only get a reaction for it, but you accept their qualities. Their qualities come to you. Yeah, so we have to be very, very careful how we criticize, especially the Vaishnavas, yes. Thanks, Henry. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Bo.
I had a question, but you were talking about perception and attention.
Yeah.
So okay, could you be able to repeat it again? Like that our perception based on attention?
Our perception is based on our attitude. For example, if you're envious of someone, right, you see them as less than they are. And if you're not attentive, you don't perceive things. You can miss things. Perception is, for example, I give the example, I'm going to show it now. I have this kind of swollen finger from a birth defect. But a lot of times people don't even notice it with me, you know, because they're not concentrated on it. Or how many times, like if I asked you, can you name all the pictures in the Bhakti Center and what order that they're in? You know, or what picture is here and what picture is there? How many times have we seen it? But if the consciousness and intention is not there, then we don't perceive things. So, these two things are important. Also, there's the there's this TED talk called the Art of Deception, where there's this Apollo Robbins, the top pickpocket in the world. And he pickpockets people on stage while you're there, the art of distraction. And at the end of the show, he has a different shirt on than he began, and no one saw. So, attention has to be there for perception. Okay, thank you,
Thakuran.
Anybody else like this to give a reflection?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Tiffany.
Yeah.
I also really appreciated the analogy of the sun, stepping out into the sun. And I also wanted to add that I love the things that you said at the end about if you don't prioritize someone else's desires over your own, it's not love, and that relationships have, we're about the relationships that we have and the sentiments within those relationships.
Wow, thank you.
Really beautiful. Thank you.
I like that point of prioritizing, because I'm trying to think of, you know, people have such a negative conception of surrender. So I'm trying to make it how it can actually be more attractive. And I think that's one of the ways. It's prioritizing someone else's desires over your own. Not a madman. Not some crazy person, you know, but someone who's giving you shelter, someone who holds the truth. It's not some crazy codependent relationship.
Okay. The guru is so important.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else give a reflection, and then... Okay, anybody else like to say hello today? This is... Who is that?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Mukunda.
Mukunda, I have your letter. I owe you one. I see that. Okay. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Good morning, Maharaj.
Who's that?
It's Jan.
Hey, Jan. Hey. Good to see you. Good.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Who's that?
Jaya Sri Radhe, Gopaki Shore, and Rama.
Ram Sadowski.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Guru Maharaj. Jaini Tai.
Hey, Jaini Tai. How are you both? Good. Anybody else?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Gail, you'll get your questions after people say hello. And I'll give you time. Okay.
Thank you.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna.
Hi, Krishna Guru.
Okay, I heard Lal Govinda. Who else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Sri Rupa.
Sri Rupa, Haribo. It's so nice.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Aaron.
Aaron, wow. It's just so nice, I guess, in this pandemic time, just to see the names of the Vaishnavas and their voices. Anybody else say hello today?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that?
Raja.
Oh, Raja. Haribo.
Haribo.
Good. Anybody else? Say hello.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. It's Jai Kishori.
Jai. Haribo.
Hare Krishna. It's Akiko.
One day this will be at your house. Okay. Akiko. Haribo.
Haribo.
Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that? Okay. Anybody else say hello?
Hare Krishna, it's Lisa.
Okay, Lisa, Haribo.
Haribo.
Okay, good. Anybody else say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hey, great. You're from Colombia.
Yeah.
I can't wait to go to Colombia again.
We are waiting for you.
Okay, but it's good that we can have this at least, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, good. Thank you. Good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Tota Gopinath here. So good to hear from you.
You still in ecstasy?
This is my new life.
Great. Great. We'll talk about plans. Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna
Maharaj. This is Shri Gandharvika.
Hare Bo. Greetings to Cyprus. Hare Krishna. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, Gail, you have any questions?
Yes, two quick ones, Maharaj. One is, if we all sign a petition, can you be convinced to turn on your picture while you're giving class?
Yes.
Okay, great. Everybody, please sign. And the other question is about Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now, that translation, I'm just trying to make it feel a little more, relevant and more, intimate or something, not so kind of like impersonal for me, the character of the life force. I think maybe life force is like...
First of all, it's Prabhupada's translation. And I don't know why anyone would think it's impersonal. The character of the life force in eternality. The life force is the soul. So what's the character of the soul in eternality? It's surrender and love.
Okay. All right, thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Anybody else want to say hello? And then if anybody on 11 o'clock, if you're around, I'll give another class today.